Hello and welcome to our site as we continue our series, Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. The vital question we want to answer this morning is, what are the seven deadly sins? What are the seven deadly sins that the Bible speaks to us about? If you have your Bible ready, please open to Paul's second letter to Timothy in the New Testament, 2 Timothy and chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and reading from verse 1 to 5, and then from verse 10 to 17. Do you have it there in your Bible? If not, just listen along. This is the Word of God. Paul says to Timothy regarding the godlessness in the last days, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. Verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. My, what a catalogue! What a catalogue right there! And we see that every day being lived out before our very eyes in this broken world. What are the seven deadly sins that are highlighted in Scripture? Well, pride is the first one. It's what caused Lucifer to rebel against God. Pride is a deadly sin because it makes us think we can be independent of God. It can make us feel we are superior to others. It can make us indifferent to opinions or the woes of others. Pride gives us a false sense of our own importance. It is an inappropriate love of self. It makes us chase our egotistical kingdom of one, I, me, myself. Jesus makes it clear that pride, like every other sin, has its source in our hearts, in our fallen nature. Through the prophet Isaiah, God accused Israel of pride and arrogance of heart. The prophet Daniel said of the great king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. May it happen to Putin. Proud Peter said to Jesus, even if all the others fall away, I will not. He ended up denying his Lord three times, the third with foul fisherman's oaths. Friends, God loves the humble But the Bible says he keeps the proud at a safe distance. Pride causes us, like the fallen angels, to depart from, to abandon our proper position before God. Jude, in his tiny letter before the book of Revelation at the end of our Bible, reveals a big truth. The angels who abandon their position before God are being kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains, for judgment on the great day. Then with all who in pride turned away from God, Jude says, they will suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Strong words from Jude, verses 6 and 7. The Bible shows that pride takes many forms. Pride in appearance, pride in position, pride in power, in achievements, in possessions, in knowledge, in intellect, even in spiritual blessings. There are scriptures for all of these and more. The Bible also shows that pride in attitudes, excessive self-confidence, presumption in planning for the future, unwillingness to take advice, arrogance, all these things and more are listed. You'll see that many of the things man commends and strives for, God actually detests. Pride encourages arrogance and mockery, can result in quarrels and dissensions, says the Proverbs. It leads to self-deception, says the prophet Jeremiah. Pride often precedes a fall and disgrace, says the book of Proverbs. It happened to the angels who followed Lucifer. It happened to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It happened to King Hezekiah. It happened to Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. It happened to Haman, Moab, Tyre, Edom, Babylon, Assyria, Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. The Pharisees, Peter, Agrippa, the Laodicean church, Rhodesia, South Africa. It's happening to the United States and Britain. Pride is a deadly sin. It causes us to sin against God. It causes us to sin against others, and it brings us into condemnation. Pride makes God's judgment inevitable. Daniel 4:37, those who walk in pride, God himself will abase. Happens to individuals, happens to nations. The only way to cure pride, dear friend, is to bring it to the cross of Jesus in utter humility and repentance, and find forgiveness and freedom and a true estimation of ourselves. The second deadly sin is wrath, the child of anger. Wrath is a reaction to intense anger. It is anger that has been allowed to run away with itself, resulting in sinful words and deeds. Passionate rage that boils up in an angry outburst, uncontrolled, bad-tempered. It can make the tongue a flame that sets a forest ablaze. It is different to righteous anger or indignation over that which is sinful or unjust. Again, like pride, this deadly sin of wrath stems from an impure heart. Every day we deal with 1,001 things that can spark anger. In the Bible, we find Cain was angry that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God and not his own, and his face was downcast, and God said, Cain, sin is crouching at your door, and if you don't master it, it's going to destroy you. But in uncontrolled anger, in wrath, Cain murdered his brother. Like a fire or a hurricane or a flood, this deadly sin leaves death in its wake. It can cause immeasurable harm. Anger, the Bible shows, can tear families apart. It can disease the body and diminish the soul. It will mar our worship, our praise, our prayer, our fellowship with God and his people. The Apostle Paul says anger gives the devil a foothold, and he will use it to his own advantage. It can lead to quarreling, harsh words, contention, cruelty and injustice, even murder. The Bible says anger is a characteristic of fools, divides friends, and grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It is a violation of the sixth commandment, and it brings its own punishment. The book of Job, wrath will bring on the sword. Wrath will bring on the sword. And Proverbs 25 and verse 28 reads, like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. Jesus said, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. The Bible teaches that Christians must be very slow to get angry, because anger is, if it is not reined in, can be a very destructive thing. Wrath is a deadly sin. The third deadly sin is envy. Envy is the opposite of unconditional love. It begrudges the honors and advantages and blessings that others may have. It is prompted by self-centeredness. It is nursed and incubated by pride. It can quickly be accompanied by malice and bitterness. Again, it is a sin of the heart. It breeds covetousness. Envy brought about the first shedding of blood in human history, and it led Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. It is the evidence of a corrupted mind, says the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, Romans chapter 1 and verses 28 and 29. What a catalogue the Apostle Paul has as he sets out, in his letter to the Romans, to show the fallenness of man, the evil of our depraved nature, and the things that are bringing the wrath of God upon the human race. We read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind and to do what ought not to be done. And they become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity, full of jealousy, envy, and the like. The third deadly sin, then, is envy. Proverbs 27:4 says, it is more cruel and destructive than anger. Envy is a cancer. It rots the bones and contaminates the soul. It breeds suspicion and a critical spirit. It can escalate to almost every sin in the book and do immeasurable harm. The fourth deadly sin in the Bible is lust. Now, our desires, whether physical, mental, spiritual, or sexual, were given by God and were wholly good until sin entered the picture, until Satan tempted and seduced our first parents, Adam and Eve, into sin. Ever since then, the human race has been in situations where desire can develop into lust, a strong desire to do that which is unlawful, or at least contrary to the will of God, where looking becomes immoral or covetous, where eating becomes gluttony, where attraction leads to adultery in the mind, if not in the body. And the burning sexual desires leave us hooked and fried because they were not checked and controlled. The sin of King David with Bathsheba, which left him in the years that followed with at least 10 countable disastrous consequences, the deadly sin of lust. Like every other deadly sin, lust is a sin of the heart, of the mind. Wrong desire, if incubated in an impure mind, will cry out, scream out for gratification. If we don't slay it right there, if we don't slam the door in its face right there, it will slay us. Every one of us knows just how true that is. The Apostle Paul reminds young Timothy that lust can be stimulated by harmful friendships and bad company. Today he would include the stuff that you can source on your screen, your big screen or your little screen. You don't even have to take a trip to the magazine rack anymore. It's there before you at the click of a mouse, if you want to be so stupid, or just a touch of the button on your device. And there you have innumerable numbers of pornography channels and everything else. Some lust after riches, some after illicit relationships, but lust, if uncontrolled, will always take you down. It'll always take you down. It degrades you, body, mind, and spirit. It may make you the world's friend, but it will make you God's enemy. Like the other deadly sins, it will bring God's disciplines, and in the end, God's judgment. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, verses 5 and 6, reminds his readers that lust will be one of the things that, in the end, brings down the wrath of God. Thank God his grace enables the Christian to say no to every form of ungodliness. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, when he is in control of the life, is self-control. Hallelujah. Otherwise, where would I be today? It is so easy, dear friend, isn't it, to allow a stronghold to develop in our minds. And lust can be a terrible stronghold to overcome. But praise God when we take it to the cross of Jesus and find forgiveness. The Holy Spirit of God is able to fill us with the very power of Christ so that we can overcome. Thanks be to God. We can be more than conquerors over every one of these seven deadly sins. I just have to mention the last three. The fifth deadly sin is gluttony. I was amazed, in fact shocked, at the number of references to gluttony in the Bible. Excessive eating. I never realized there were so many verses that speak about that in the Word of God. So that we kind of live to eat rather than eat to live, making a god of our stomach, harming our bodies in the process, but also our usefulness to others, because we're giving our own appetite priority. Overindulgence of food and drink is a sin in God's holy book. It makes us lazy, dulls our senses, diminishes our usefulness in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. True satisfaction, Jesus shows us, is not found in food, but in doing the will of God. God is good all the time. Making food a god is bad. Friends, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They're not to be abused by overeating and indulgence. Rather fast regularly and feed the poor, and then life will be healthy and rich. The sixth deadly sin is avarice, the love of money, greed for gain. It's the opposite of contentment. The terrible condition where enough is never enough. Enough is never enough. It's a form of idolatry. It breaks the first commandment, to love God and to love him wholeheartedly and exclusively. It makes us sell our soul to materialism, this deadly sin of avarice, of greed. But the love of wealth will never bring satisfaction or guarantee happiness. Some of the most unhappy people I've met in my 80 years are very prosperous people, but their soul is barren, and deep inside they're unhappy. So much for the prosperity gospel that is spewed out daily on Christian television channels. Health, wealth, and prosperity are not the key to contentment and happiness. A relationship with Jesus is the source of that. Greed is the first step to all kinds of sin. The love of the world and material things, the love of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil in itself any more than television or anything else. But the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, says the Apostle Paul. It is the opposite of love for God. The aged Apostle John, writing in his first letter, if you'd like to turn there, the little letters of John and Jude are just before the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the Bible. And the Apostle John writes in his first letter, chapter 2, and verses 15 and 16, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and all of its desires are going to pass away one day, but the man, the woman, who does the will of God lives forever." Avarice turns people away from God. It's the height of foolishness, according to Jesus, who told a parable of a wealthy person who filled his barns with produce and then built bigger barns and wanted even bigger barns and more and more and more. And Jesus' thunderous verdict was, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then what's going to happen to all the stuff that you accumulated when you were on earth?" There is no sin in material prosperity or financial wealth, dear friend. The sin is in making it our goal and allowing it to dominate our lives. The seventh deadly sin is sloth, laziness, the opposite of hard work, discipline and diligence, the opposite of that good work ethic. Instinctively, we can be very lazy sometimes. Inactivity, where we should be actively engaged. The writer of the Proverbs points out that laziness can be costly, causing us to lower not only our ability to be productive and fruitful, but our guard against the seductions of the world and our carnal nature. Slothful people are likely to become apathetic, unprincipled, procrastinators, and the Proverbs warn of the consequences that can result, like indebtedness, material need, hunger, poverty. The Bible, on the other hand, encourages a good work ethic. In fact, it says if a man is not willing to work properly, do a good day's work, that person shouldn't even be fed. Slothfulness, laziness, like the other deadly sins, will tend to result in a half-hearted commitment to God and the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul warns against idleness and time-wasting. "Never flag in zeal," he says to the Roman Christians. "Serve the Lord faithfully and with spiritual zeal and fervor. Make the most of every opportunity God gives you. Redeem the time. Don't fritter it away in idleness." So, watch your diet, watch your sleep, watch your exercise, and work hard. For diligence, the proverb says, will reward you with wealth. Well, we may be old. I'm getting there myself. But God help us not to be lazy or slothful. What are the seven deadly sins that the Bible speaks about? Of course, they're not the only sins, but these, from ancient times, have been referred to as the seven deadly sins. What are they? They are pride, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, greed, and sloth. These are the seven deadly sins the Bible warns us to be on the lookout for and avoid them like the plague. The good news, dear friend, is that for all of these sins and more, Jesus died on the cross. The one who knew no sin became a sin offering for us on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, paid our debt in full, and shed his precious blood on the cross so that we could be cleansed, forgiven, redeemed, our broken relationship with God restored, have a personal relationship with God, know Christ as our Saviour, Redeemer, Shepherd and King, and the Holy Spirit of God as the power enabling us to live to the glory of God, so that we are not living a life that is grievous to the Lord and harmful to us and to others. Thank God that for every one of us today, the gospel of Jesus Christ is very good news. God so loved the world, so loved you and me, so loved the world of humanity, that he gave his one and only Son, so that believing in him we might not perish, but have everlasting life. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in the triumphant procession of the Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Friend, not one of us has to be dogged daily by any kind of besetting sin or deadly sin. Christ has redeemed. He's paid the price that we can be forgiven, delivered, and have a wonderful, dynamic life lived to the glory of God, where we're no longer slaves to sinful habits or to the irritations that cause us to offend God and end up in misery in our soul. Jesus Christ is able to fully and freely forgive and restore and renew and refresh. And I pray that today you may know the joy of Christ and that you'll know what it is to be more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us, gave himself for us. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're just so grateful this morning once again that we can bow in your presence and acknowledge that Jesus is a Saviour perfectly suited to our need. Thank you, Father, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was raised again the third day, and we thank you that he invites us to come now to lay our burdens down, and thank you that if we repent toward you and confess our sin and entrust our lives to Christ, we can by faith receive not only your forgiveness, your cleansing, but the Holy Spirit of Christ to fill us and renew us, empower us and enable us, so that we can walk before you and glorify you and enjoy you forever. May it be so. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, yeah. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you.